May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Have you not known? Has it not been made known to you from the beginning? Have you gotten the message? Because that's what Jesus came to do, to make sure that everyone gets the message. The Gospel of Mark begins not with stars and angels and cosmic poetry. It begins very directly, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then it leaps immediately into action, healing, teaching, casting out of demons, more healing. Very early on, Jesus makes the comment we hear this morning, "What I came to do is proclaim the good news." What is the good news? It's not a rhetorical question. How would you answer if someone asked you this afternoon, "I've been hearing this talk about good news. What is the good news?" How has the good news changed your life? How has it changed the life of your community? What did Jesus mean? Well, we kind of have to trail after him in the Gospel of Mark, picking up bits and pieces. We've already seen that there's something about healing. There's something about power over evil. We will shortly learn that there's more having to do with forgiveness, with nourishment, with the everyday miracles of God's kingdom breaking into our present reality. It turns out that what the good news is depends a lot on where you are and what you need. To the physically, mentally, and spiritually ill, the good news is the healing power of God. To those possessed somehow by something evil, the good news is the power of God over evil. To the hungry, the good news is nourishment. To the outcast, the good news is community. To the lonely and the shunned, the good news is conversation and compassion. To the downtrodden, the exploited, the hopeless, the good news is that Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not. That's actually good news for Caesar too, if he's wise enough to receive it. And to the finite, fallible, vulnerable human being that every one of us is, the good news is the power of God and God's pursuit of us. As the story unfolds, there's more good news, that the worst thing that we can imagine happening is never the last thing, and that death is not the last word. As you know, Jesus' last command to us was to make sure that everybody gets the good news, that we take up that work. And at your baptism, and many times thereafter, you've made that promise. I will proclaim by word and example the good news of Jesus Christ. It's one of the three stated priorities of the Diocese of Virginia, to spread the good news, to reveal the kingdom, to make sure that they all know. Paul says in the letter to the Romans, one of the ways that he describes the good news, he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But immediately he asks, "How can they call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him?" It's a matter of life and death, this sharing of the good news. A matter of life and death. It's far more than occasionally inviting a friend to church, although that's a good thing to do, hoping that someone else, maybe the preacher, will explain the good news. We need to be able to do it ourselves. And we do. We do. We're doing it now, even in the middle of a pandemic lockdown, even in the middle of intense political turmoil, even in the middle of deep social and racial reckoning, because The world needs good news right now. We need good news. So how do we do it? How are we doing it? We do it by understanding what good news is to the people, the actual people who are really around us. That's what Jesus was doing with all the healing and the demon casting. I don't think he got up in the morning and thought, today's a good day to cast out demons. I wonder where I can find some. No. What he did was say, I wonder where the people are and what they need. And he would go and he would listen to their stories and he would look into their hearts and he would deliver good news. Good news of healing, of forgiveness, of spiritual wholeness, of nourishment. That's what St. Paul is talking about when he says, proclaiming the good news is not ground for boasting, it's just what we're all supposed to do, what we must do. Because why is it must? Why? Because there's no other way. There's no other way to live in a world full of Christ followers, in a world full of kingdom revealers. Isn't that what you want? So Paul would go places. He would go to the local hangout and speak the language of the people who were hanging out there, to the Jews in the synagogues. He would talk about Abraham. To the Greeks, he would talk about philosophy in Athens. He was clear that he was not necessarily assimilating into these other ways of thinking, these other cultures, but coming alongside respectfully, listening to hear what would be good news to those people in that place, because there's good news for everyone. Last week, I had the good pleasure of meeting with the Fredericksburg Clericus. And what I saw there, I'm sure, is true all over the diocese. It's pretty obvious that the Episcopal Church is bringing good news. And so I wanted to share some examples that I heard about. We know that people are starving for spirituality. We're so divided and isolated from one another, starving for spirituality and connection. Christ Church, Spotsylvania, is saying the whole daily office, morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, Compline, every day online. And people come to the whole daily office. At the online evening prayer in St. Paul, King George, there are sometimes as many as 40 people, which I guarantee you was not happening even in the largest urban churches before COVID, certainly not at St. Paul. All of that is good news, that prayer, scripture, psalms, in a form that gave stability to Europe for centuries of instability, fear, upheaval, and plague, still has the power to give us spiritual nourishment. It's good news. We know that people are suffering from racist divisions and pain. St. Paul King George, a predominantly white congregation, happens to have a black rector from England, is planning a combined worship service that will be held on Zoom with Little Ark Baptist Church, nearby predominantly black church. That is kingdom good news, not just for those congregations, but for the whole community that will bear witness to the fellowship and healing between those two congregations. At St. John's King George, members are participating in an ecumenical Come to the Table group that holds structured discussions around issues of race. Trinity Fredericksburg has an active race task force, which is beginning new studies in a long series. St. Paul's Port Royal has engaged in a sacred ground study of racism and has begun to work on the book Caste, which is no small undertaking. They know that their building was built by enslaved persons, and so they're currently working on imagining what a liturgy would look like to acknowledge that fact and lay it before the Lord. Good, deep, hard work. St. George Fredericksburg has two active racial reconciliation discussion groups and is feeling urgency in moving from study to action, discerning what that looks like. They're also working on reimagining their The Table relational food sharing ministry, what that's going to look like post-COVID. In Fredericksburg, an ecumenical multiracial community sacred ground group is meeting with people from the Episcopal churches and others. The good news is being proclaimed in all those places and more. That's just a little of what I heard. And I'm betting that you are bringing the same kind of good news in ways like that, but particular to your setting, to the people around you, in some form or fashion, even now. And those specific incarnational ways open the door to the bigger good news, the really important good news. That would be the words you came up with when I asked the question, how would you express the good news? Do you remember what they were? I'm guessing that some of them might have been along the lines of Jesus saves us from our sins. The door to eternal life has been opened for us. God's new creation has begun and we are invited into it. And Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not. What was your version of the big good news? Making the bridge from the tangible good news, the community engagement and listening, to the really big good news might begin by saying something to people like this. You know, there's a lot more where that came from. There's healing. There's hope. There's forgiveness. There is life in great abundance, eternal, infinite love and life. And we all have access to it. For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from their circumstances, saved from themselves, saved from evil, saved from death. That's big good news. You know this, but how can they know unless somebody tells them? And why in the world would we withhold such good news, the only news that can save us, especially now? So if you would love to live in a world of Christ followers, a world of kingdom revealers, a world of healing, a world of nourishment, a world of forgiveness, a world of spiritual wholeness, then share the good news. Share the gospel. Become, if you must, all things to all people, listening to them and meeting them where they are, to get the chance to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the gospel, so that you, with St. Paul and all the saints, may share abundantly and joyfully in the blessings of the good news. May that blessing be upon you today and every day for the rest of your life into eternity. God bless you.